Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
They are in the process of finalizing a deal with Blake Butera to manage the team. He is 33 years old. Danny, we are both decidedly older than both the new president of baseball operations, 35-year-old T-Bone, Paul Toboni, who sat in that seat with us for an hour.
That's right.
And the 33-year-old skipper-to-be, Blake Butera of the Washington Nationals. He is going to be the youngest manager introduced when the Nats finalized their deal with him in the big leagues since 1972. Pretty amazing. You're going back over 50 years to find a manager hired this young. His experience includes 4 years as a minor league skipper at the single-A level, where in those four seasons he finished in first place four times and was a two-time champion at his level. He then went to the player development side, all in the Rays organization. There are very few orgs. When it comes to not spending money and winning baseball games, there's nobody better than Tampa Bay. You've dipped into that talent pool, a guy that coached, that managed, and he has run their player development staff over the last couple of years. So this is a developmental mind, an instructor, a teacher, and at just 33 years old, he will be young and have energy to match a very young clubhouse. This is ballsy. This is a big risk.
This is a limb.
35-year-old GM to hire a 33-year-old manager that most people outside of the inner workings of baseball don't know. But I got to tell you, Danny, I love it.
Well, it's exciting. And it's exciting because it shows boldness. It's very easy to go, this guy managed the bigs before, did fine. You know, your NFL equivalent of a Dan Quinn, to be honest with you, right? Or MLB equivalent of a Dan Quinn. Someone that's been around, good track record. Players like decades of sample. Involved with the Legion of Boom. Coordinator for Dallas with it turned you over a lot. Super Bowl trip with Atlanta. That's safer. That's easier. Big league manager with big league time. You know, has done the walk to the mound to change pitchers at the big league levels. Than everything with the major leaguer before. There's going to be, you know, a dozen players probably per weekend that are older than this guy. This is a bold hire. And it tells you a lot, I think, about this front office. They are not here to wait around. They are not here to get the approval of baseball's old guard. They're going to run things a certain way. And to me, something you used to talk about all the time when you were grilling Bruce Allen correctly, is why don't you go get the sous chef from the best kitchen? Why don't you do that? Well, they went to a pretty good kitchen where you develop players on a budget to compete with the big boys that have 10x payrolls of what you do at the major league level. And said, we are going to make this thing efficient. We're going to take the guys that not everybody else could and would deal with and turn them into quality big leaguers at a fraction of a cost. Very easy to get a headline and go get $300 million worth of this great, exciting player from Japan that hasn't set foot here and win posting fees. Very easy to go dip your toes into free agency and go sign Juan Soto to $500 million. This is harder, right? But this is kind of the mold. You want someone that's been in that kitchen. picking, you know, having players come to your doorstep and you go, you're responsible for them being a lot better. Come back and see in a couple months.
Here's what I like most about this move. There's a few things that right away, and I'm reacting to his resume, not the person specifically, because I don't know him personally. I haven't been around him. I've texted some people who have worked with him, above him, below him in organizations and gotten some good intel, and they all absolutely rave about him. But I am reacting to the idea of hiring a 33-year-old who's never been a big league manager, who has managed at the minor league level, who's worked in player development. And here's what I really like. Number one is what you just said. You're going to the player development and scouting monster Toboni's trying to build here in D.C. that the Rays have, and you're plucking one of their elite young talents away. Smart. You ran player development. He's coached in one of the best systems in the sport. He's managed at that minor league level. Good. On top of that, I think that he is exactly going to be in lockstep, like-minded with Paul Toboni on how he views the world, how he views the game of baseball. Toboni said, when we talked with him, that while being a previous manager at the major league level was a feather in the cap, it wasn't going to be the end-all, be-all, it wasn't going to be a prerequisite, he is looking for people that aren't just solely analytical, but who are open-minded to data and R&D, and who think like the old guard in some ways as well. He is that guy. He played college baseball. He played professional baseball, and then he became a data-driven R&D analytics guy. He's got both backgrounds. You know who else is cut from that same cloth? Blake Butera,
yep.
Who played at Boston College for 4 years, was drafted, found out at about 25 years old, this ain't going to work. I'm probably not going to make the big leagues. They loved him so much internally in the organization, they said, you know, we think you could be a really good coach if you want to start doing that. And he immediately starts managing a team by the time he's 25 years old in the minors. But he's got the playing background. He views the game through that lens. He's got the reverence and respect for the scouts that view the game as a former player. But he's also got the chops of the R&D, the data. They're trying to blend the two together. I think that's really smart. For the people that will knock this based on his age, Sean McVay was hired to be an NFL head coach just past 30 years old. I remember all kinds of mud being slung at him. But all of us who knew Sean McVay, I'd been around him for an extended period of time in D.C., really gotten to know him. I remember talking to him on the phone as he was interviewing for jobs for San Francisco, L.A., some of the other stops that were calling him. And he said one of the things he thought that was best about his interview process is he was able to go into all those rooms, Danny, and tell those teams, Wade Phillips is coming with me wherever I end up. If I go to the Niners, he's my DC in San Fran. If I go to the Rams, he's my DC in LA. And he thought it gave him this added credibility of being with a real veteran lifer who he had sat down with and convinced to be a package deal. And I bring this up to say maybe you need to have a bench coach that's experienced.
Right, you're grizzled, gray-haired, 65-year-old.
Maybe you need somebody with some pelts on the wall on the staff. But McVay was smart enough to know that his age helped him a lot. Relatability. The way he viewed the sport, being able to keep up with some of the trends, the energy he was going to bring to the job, all of those things. But there were also shortcomings, and he was able to work around those deficiencies by having a staff around him that could allow him to do that. And that's going to be important for Butera. But this idea that someone is young so they're unqualified is flawed. I love what Washington is doing. They are trying to reinvent themselves after years of failing and hitting at way too low a batting average in both draft and development, every move they've made has been to kind of make a sea change and go in a completely different direction in both areas.
You could see it. Yeah. I mean, the hope here is that you look up in 15 years and these two have made beautiful music together. This is your, you know, Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes type relationship to borrow again from football. You're hoping that those two guys, you know, cut across multiple different casts of players as you kind of go forward, right? As you have multiple builds in this thing. And it's a way to be sustainable even when you don't win the bidding war for Bryce Harper. Again, I keep coming back to Juan Soto or Shohei Ohtani or, the next superstar where this is the only way to do it is the one, you know, moonshot where we go win the bidding and the free agent happens to like the school system here and wants to live in this area, et cetera. There are a million things pulling in that direction. You need to control the controllables, which again is your talent development, what you do internally, players that I don't mean to say this in a kind of crude way, but players that don't have a choice. In other words, I draft Grant Paulson to the Washington Nationals. I got you for years. What can I get out of you? Right? Once you've earned big league service time, you got the right to free agency. I don't begrudge that. You go do what you want. You can sign here, sign somewhere else. That's part of the process. But there are years where I, as the team, can get great value out of you. That must be maximized. And it can't be once. It can't be a couple of times. Isn't it a nice story that Jacob Young is a Gold Glove finalist? No. You need an organizational-wide, endless army of production that you can then supplement with free agency. This is the most efficient, efficient is not the right word. This is the way to do it without winning every bidding war and be sustainably competitive.
Here's what I want to know about this hire now and what the next things to figure out are. Okay, the Nats go get a 33-year-old skipper. Not official yet, but soon after the World Series, they'll be introducing Butera as their new manager. What does this staff look like? I just talked about bench coach. Does he have to hire a former big league manager to be his bench coach? I think it's hard to find a guy whose ego allows him to take a job like that, who's been a skipper before, but you can find possible options. One name that was floated to me, and this would be really interesting, if Rocco Baldelli does not get a managerial job, I would not be surprised if he's in the discussion here as a bench coach. Somebody like that with that type of experience.
Yeah, played at the highest level, has managed before.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be significant. I hope they go young on the staff with teachers. I hope they go young with guys like Butera as, you know, possible instructors, developers. You're not going to stop developing at the major league level when you've got a young rebuilding team. So fill out the staff with as many guys like him as possible. I think the pitching coach hiring is going to be huge. I hope Sean Doolittle is still involved in the organization in some capacity on that part of the staff. But the bench coach now is what I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
You can go super young, no big league experience, very little managerial experience at a very low level of the minors if you want to. But I do think they need someone with some pelts on the wall on that staff. So I think that becomes important part of it.
I like that thought process because there is an inevitable pushback. I mean, Jason Worth, who's from a different time, a different breed, told us a funny story about when he's in Seattle for a cup of coffee at the end of his career, Analytics Andy comes up and goes, "You should try to pull the ball in the air." Don't talk to me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's a translation there.
He literally, basically verbally gave the guy a swirly.
Yeah.
And he told us that story. Now, I will push back and say a lot of the Jason Worths of baseball are kind of dying off.
Oh, totally.
He's not in baseball anymore, and I think that's symbolic of there are guys like him, but there's a lot less guys like him than there used to be.
Totally fair. I use that as an extreme example, but there's a, hey, we're going to try this, and with that, and it's like, what? You know, it's hard. I can't come up with a great example because, you know, some of the rules now, you can't do super shifting, but like, if shifts were legal and he came in as the 33-year-old, not having played in the big leagues, and he's like, all right, we're going to have 8 guys line up to the left of second base. I may not want to do that from you, dude, that never played at this level. And then if Big League Billy is there, who's done it before, is going, no, guys, here's why, and I'll explain it to you in terms you can understand. Being able to walk both sides of the line, I think, is important. And a guy with big league experience that's been in, you know, it's made those pitching changes, that's gone through a grind of a season of 162 plus spring training and everything else, understands the bumps and the bruises and everything that goes with it, that might help solidify, reinforce, translate into terms that, you know, the guy that didn't grow up in the era of VR training in your hotel room, you know, might be able to understand.
True. Also, you got to think about the team that they have and that they will have. They're not going to have many guys older than him. You know, there are big league clubhouses where you slot in a 33-year-old manager who's never done it before in the Dodgers clubhouse, let's say, with a bunch of superstar MVPs on their way to the Hall of Fame, or maybe the Yankees clubhouse, and maybe there would be a little bit more butting of heads. You're bringing him in to match the energy of the youth, of the exuberance of all a bunch of kids that are learning to play baseball at the major league level. There was a lack of accountability. There was a lack of instruction. There was a lack of fundamental teaching, in my opinion. And if they were teaching it at a high level, it wasn't sticking. So it doesn't matter because the message wasn't getting through. Hopefully a lot of that changes. I also want to know what this hire means for the roster, because here's my perception. I don't think you go out and get a 33-year-old manager if you're Paul Toboni this week, if you're not planning on really rebuilding this thing and being young and, frankly, wearing it at the major league level for a couple of seasons. When he was sitting in this seat in studio, point blank asked him something along the lines of, hey, it's not that hard to accidentally get to a wild card like the Reds did. Mm-hmm. If you go out and spend some money this offseason, you could be in the 82 to 85 win mix if everything goes right and you stay healthy. Is that the goal, or would you rather really detonate this thing? I know it's been a lengthy rebuild, but do it the right way, start over, and see if you can have more success and ask for more patience from a fan base that has been very patient. This hiring makes me think that they're doing the latter. I don't think you bring in a 33-year-old who hasn't managed above single A, who is a player development mind and a minor league instructor, if you're planning on trying to win right away and go add veterans. So this, to me, signifies that maybe you do trade Mackenzie Gore, which I think they should do this offseason. It means that maybe you do shop C.J. Abrams. I'm less excited and inclined to do that. I'd move him to second and try to extend him. But that would be an option for them as well. So I look at this hiring as to what does it mean about Toboni's mindset and philosophy going forward. And it makes me think, Danny, this is not a, we've got a foundation I really like, let's add a couple of veterans and try to get over 500 in the next year or so. I think this actually signifies they may do the opposite.
You may be right about that. I hadn't thought of it in those terms exactly, but you know, you when you come into a new situation and clean house this way, there is some, I know I understand the backdrop of the fans that have been here the whole time where Toboni and company have not. And we're going, come on, dude. I'm looking at my watch. It's been 6 years. Wait, when?
This is year seven. I've been waiting since 2019. This is year eight. And Toboni's going, nah, bro, this is year two. What are you talking
and
about?
I think both are valid, right? But from a fan's perspective, I get it. Because if they're you know, lowering ticket prices in an interim, okay, fine. But they're not, right?
There's only one way to do it, right, though?
Yeah.
And Toboni needs to listen to nobody on the outside.
Yes.
And go come in here and do it the correct way at the correct pace. And if that means you lose butts and seats, so be it.
So be it. Yeah,
if that means we'll see you in 3 years, guys. I mean, all you can do is do it the right way.
Yeah, and the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Totally.
And the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is worth it, is kind of the point here. Now, it was the first time. I mean, there was a lot of losing. They opened up the new ballpark with a bad team, which is rare. You don't usually see that. Yes.
08, 09, 10, 11, and then some of 12.
Yeah, and then that 11 team that finished 80-81 was kind of the first glimpse of, and then they're off to the races in 2012. That took a while. I don't know that it takes as long, but it's going to take some time. And I think that's what this signing it probably signifies. I think you went to the next step very well.
But the Wizards are the example here of that's not a good atmosphere right now. Go to a Wizards game.
Yeah.
You know, unless people are there for the opposing fan base is showing up for their team or whatever, there's a lot of nights where it's pretty dead at Capital One Arena. You can't worry about that right now.
Right.
What you're telling Ted Leonsis, if you're, you know, Winger and Dawkins, is we're going to build it and they're going to come. You'll make the money on the back end, trust us. Believe in this process that we're executing right here. And that's what Toboni's got to do. Last thing that I'm curious about with this hire, how much does Toboni end up being involved? And I don't mean him specifically, although he's part of it. Like the front office get involved in management. A lot of these newer school teams, a lot of times with managers at the big league level, especially the younger, and I would think 33-year-old, youngest in 50 years, Butera qualifies for this. If you're not dealing with a Dusty Baker or a Tony La Russa or, you know, a Brian Snitker, one of these dudes who's been around for a long time or whatever, Bruce Bochy, they're going to bang heads with you every time you want to tell them what needs to be done in the lineup, right? I don't know how much that's going to be the case. Are the Nats going to be a team where the game's kind of managed before it starts in a lot of ways? Where, hey, here's your lineup.
Yeah, here's today's matchups that we want and that we don't want.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you are not to have name that reliever against name this hitter.
Seventh inning, when this guy pitches, these are the two guys you can use against him. You just give him the answer key. I think there's going to be a lot of that with this organization probably, just as they get more data intensive. I'm perfectly okay with that, by the way. I think that's kind of what the sport is now. You get a lot of that even with the Dodgers and a guy like Dave Roberts. But I wonder how much a part of the process that was for Toboni. If you're Adam Peters, you get one shot to run your own shop, maybe. So you come in here and you go, what head coach can I work with that I really like that can build a culture and be a, you know, nice symbiotic relationship with me, but also I'm going to get to do some of the things I want to do.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn's going to say yes a lot because we see things the same way or because he just wants to coach ball. And maybe someone else might have wanted a little more power and you're going to butt heads. I wonder with Toboni if you go, you know, this guy would be good, but I really like the way this guy sees the game. And also, I think he's going to be able to work with us a little more on how we want to manage this thing from the front office. I wonder how much a factor that's going to be moving forward here.
I think that's, again, another good question. And I think you need to be able to do both. So in other words, my spreadsheet can, you know, this is an anti-analytics, but my spreadsheet, again, can tell me today's best matchup is Grant Paulson and his sinker against Darius Dameron and the fact that, you know, he swings over the top a lot of balls. That could be my spreadsheet. Well, I'm going to know that day. Grant comes to me and goes, God, my arm is barking, Skip. I feel overworked. I got up a couple times last week. My back's a little bit sore. I didn't sleep great in the hotel room, right? So all of a sudden, that spreadsheet needs to be, you know what? I can't do that spreadsheet today. I got to manage a little bit by feel. I've got your data, but I also need to be able to defend my choices above. I went with my gut. We can't just do that, but we also can't be a slave to anything, right?
I think managers manage in-game and make fewer decisions now than ever before.
Agreed.
So much is dictated. So what do you want in a manager? You want a relationship builder. You want someone who runs and keeps a very harmonious clubhouse, has really good relationships with players. And I think in the Nationals case, Danny, you want a player development mind.
And that's needed right now, yeah.
And that's what they're bringing in. Think AJ Hinch when he got the job coming off PD roles. Gabe Kapler is cut from a, you know, similar type of cloth, having done both the coaching and the developing at the minor league level. So an exciting day for the Nationals. Again, 35-year-old president, 33-year-old manager. The youth movement is very much on for Washington.
What up?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Everybody, it is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. It's B. Mitchell Finley. We are out in Ashburn, Virginia, BigBear.ai Training Center. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm chilling, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Got some rain, man. Rain last night.
I love it.
It was raining hard this morning, but one thing I was happy about, we've discussed kind of the walk from the parking lot to the media center here in Ashburn. Mm-hmm. It's not a long walk, but it's not a short one. Mm-hmm. We kind of lucked out. There was no rain. At least when I parked, it was like the skies parted for a minute.
It was no rain when I came.
I appreciated that for sure.
That was cool.
We are on the YouTube stream. Feel free to check us out at the 106.7 The Fan page YouTube. Did you watch any baseball last night?
A little bit.
I watched. Toronto, not scared, dude. And that young pitcher, I mean, he is a kid, dude.
Yeah. They look, man, the thing about it, they're talented, and they hear all the talk about the Dodgers, and I'm sure they're playing loose. And that's what they keep saying about them, that they've been very loose. They're not worried about much. But they know how to put the bat on the ball.
Totally.
You know, and you got the pitching that the Dodgers have and the way that they throw it. If you can put the bat on it consistently, you can get in problems.
Totally, man. Yeah. He's a rookie pitcher, struck out 12 over 7 innings last night. Broke the all-time rookie record for strikeouts in a World Series game. Do you want to guess the previous record?
For a World Series game?
For a rookie strikeouts in a World Series game.
Rookie strikeout.
I'll tell you this. It's before you were born.
Okay. Well, don't know. Babe Ruth. Before I was born.
Yo, it was a Dodgers pitcher.
Was it the guy that they kept showing last night?
It was a Dodgers pitcher when they were playing in Brooklyn. I don't know much about Don Newcomb, Brian.
I've never heard of Don Newcomb.
But Don Newcomb in 1949 struck out 11 as a rookie playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Trey Yesavage broke that last night with 12 strikeouts over 7 innings. He was super impressive, man. This is wild. So he had 10 or more strikeouts through the first 5 innings. You know who else did that in the World Series? Sandy Koufax. You've heard of him.
No, they showed Koufax last night.
They talked about him for sure. It's weird that I am rooting for the Canadian team when there's an American team in there. I just like Toronto, man. It's a cool story. Now they get 2 at home to ice it.
Well, hell, when you're cheering in baseball, you're just cheering for people. You're cheering for the world.
I like Vlad. I love his
all
dad.
Over the damn place.
His dad was my favorite player when I was a kid, or I guess I was a little older because it was Cal forever.
Well, Jay, you're still a kid.
In mind only at this point. We got a bunch of news out here yesterday. Yesterday ended up being a very busy day.
Yeah.
Now, Dan Quinn didn't say specifically that Jaden is playing Sunday night against Seattle, but he said he's going to be a full participant in practice all week. And then Jaden spoke later and said, you could tell Jaden decided to, like, stick with the company line. He was like, if it all goes well, I would love to play. I very much believe Jaden's playing.
Remember that.
You land there, too?
Yeah. Why else would you have him go full all week?
Right.
And if he goes full all week, that means he's getting the reps. You don't want him to go full all week, get all the reps, and then put somebody else out there.
I think they're giving themselves wiggle room in case something flares up with the hammy or something. Mm-hmm. But it sure seems...
Let's just say the plan is to let the kid play.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with that entirely.
Now, if something changed after that, if something goes, then I understand. But I think the plan is to get him back in action.
Totally. Now, the flip side of this is Terry McLaurin is out. We saw Terry mm-hmm. re-injure that quad. It was the play we all thought. He never came back in after he made that incredible grab on the sideline, down the left side in Kansas City. And, if I went through this and kind of counted it all up. Week one, you had Jaden, Terry, and Debo.
Yep.
But Terry hadn't really practiced because he was coming off the holdout.
Yep.
Week two, you had Jaden, Terry, and Debo. But Jaden got hurt in that game. He finished the game, but he was pretty clearly hurt, and they were just getting mauled. Yeah. Green Bay was all over them. Week three, you go to Mariota, and you have Terry and Debo. Then Terry gets hurt just before halftime of that game, I believe. Remember where he caught the long one against the Raiders?
Yep.
Week four, it's just Mariota and Debo. Week five, it's Jaden and Debo. That's also when Debo's heel injury started. Week six, it's Jaden and Debo. But if you remember, Debo barely played in the second half of that game. The heel injury was a real factor.
Yep.
Week seven, it was just Jaden. No Terry, no Debo. Week eight, Mariota, Terry, Debo. Mm-hmm. Terry gets hurt. Now we're going into week nine, and it's just going to be Jaden and Debo.
Mm-hmm.
It is easy to point out they've been – poor defensively, and the numbers are trending downward in a discouraging way. Their run game has evaporated over the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
You can point to flaws in the offensive line. You can point to just a series of changes along the offensive line.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. I'd have to check this. I can't imagine 3 games in a row they've had the same offensive line.
Probably not.
I bet 2 they have, but I don't know about 3. when you look at your best offensive players not practicing together, I mean, they really did not practice together, period. Mm-hmm. And then even the backup, Mariota, who has now started three games, he didn't practice all of camp either. Remember, he had the Achilles tendonitis.
Yeah, he missed most of camp.
Right. He might have missed more than Terry did.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd have to go back and check.
But people taking shots at him.
It's similar. Well, he was hurt. But
nah, I'm just saying.
My point is, like, Greenberg was on yesterday, and I thought Greenberg did a really good job of kind of explaining. People are all of a sudden trying to condemn Adam Peters or Dan Quinn or Cliff Kingsbury or Joe Witt, and like, oh, these guys don't know anybody, don't know anything.
Man, when you don't have
but players, like, the situation's pretty absurd.
It's just like playing poker. You don't have the damn cards, you're not winning, right? I don't care how good a poker player you are. If you don't get the cards and somebody else get them, you're not winning. You know, if people like to sit up here and they forget that you have to have talent to win. And I have seen some of the best of the best. This, like, I've been in some poker tournament with the guys that play for money on TV. And they don't get cards, and the amateurs get cards. And you won a damn poker tournament against people. I mean, what I'm saying, it's like, this is where people.
I want a Rolex,
you know,
baby.
And that's a part of media today, and it's just part of the world, where we don't care what's going on. We just have to make the most outlandish comments in the world, and we want to always just find somebody to blame, somebody to attack. It's just the way way the world goes now.
Yeah, I mean, people just get mad, right? But that said, there have been mistakes. Like, you don't want to let people off for mismanagement or bad decisions, but I think you could try to take the full context of things to understand maybe this is also a factor. Yeah, the lack of continuity offensively is something that Kingsbury's talked about, that Jaden's talked about. But at the same time, Seattle doesn't care. Seattle doesn't care for one second who's playing, who's not. Seattle's going to come here and try to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the whole thing of it is, like, nobody cares, but still, it's a factor. You know, injuries is a factor. When people get hurt, you can sit up here and attack the person that picked them or not. Injuries happen. And it's nobody's fault when they happen. You know, you can, like I said, you can be walking down the damn stairs and get hurt. You can be walking down the street and get hurt. You can be just running a regular route, slow-mo, and something can happen. You know, people have twins, their backs just turning. You don't have to be old for that to happen.
Baseball dudes get hurt sneezing.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you don't have to be old for that to happen. And guess what? It can happen at any time. And if you've been in action, you understand that type of stuff. But, you know, we like to just say things just to say them. We don't know half the time, but we just throw it out there because it sounds good. And it makes us feel good when we probably don't do a damn thing and anything close to them. And we get hurt, but we don't have nobody saying nothing about us. So
you're talking specifically about the Terry got hurt because of the holdout?
I'm talking about that, and I'm talking about other people getting hurt too. It's not just that. It's just a constant comments. About they want to forget the injuries completely. You can't. It's not the complete reason, but it's a big ass factor in it. You know, and I love people that probably never had a competition in their damn lives that always want to sit up and make those comments. That's where I get pissed at. You know, because let's be real. Same people probably was talking that same crap about me. I wish I would have heard it, and then I would have just went to them and talked to them about it. But, you know, it's amazing how ignorant people can sound sometimes. And it's not that they only got an opinion. No, it's ignorance when you say certain things.
I think I was talking with somebody yesterday that you and I both know. And they were like, it would be really interesting if you did a study on the guys that hold out and then have injuries. And I was like, yeah, it would. But you'd have to couple it with the study of the guys that don't hold out and get injuries.
Injured. Yeah.
Like, it seems like, I think it's called the Green Honda effect. Have you ever read about that?
Mm-mm.
Nobody in their life ever notices a green Honda on the road. until you buy one, and then you can't help but notice, man, there's a green Honda, there's a green Honda, there's a green Honda. And, like, because the holdouts generate so much attention, whatever happens after that has this magnifying glass on it. So if it's a down season, it's like, oh, it's a holdout. If it's a injury, oh, it's a holdout. There is zero to suggest that there's a direct correlation. There's also zero to suggest there isn't, but, like, the desire to assign blame is just crazy.
That is what society is about today. They want to assign blame. Because, let's be real, lately, over the last few years, everybody goes to camp, and a lot of people still get hurt anyway. So the whole lot really don't make that big of a difference, because the guys that go to camp, so many people get hurt too. So if you really want to break it down, the whole lot guys are very, very slim compared to the people that actually show up to camp.
So I got this tweet yesterday. I'm not going to say the guy's name because it's a nice dude who I've interacted with a ton. And yesterday when the news broke, I said, you know, Terry McLaurin is out for Sunday, re-injured his quad. And this dude responded to me, worst contract ever, I swear to God. And I felt the need to respond to that. And I thought my response was pretty measured. I said, I get fans are frustrated, but how can you be a Washington fan and say that considering some of the contracts that have come out of Ashburn over the years?
Because that's the one that's at heart right now, and they want to say it. Terry's production and the contract now, I would say, would never put him behind Albert Haynesworth.
No.
Okay? It would never put him behind most guys that rolled in here. But see, that's the stupidity that people like to do. Because, you know what, they go on there, they're online, they say that, they get all the little idiots to follow them, and they think they've done something.
I think there is a significant portion of the people you're talking about. I also think people are just reactionary, and we live in a microwave society.
Idiots.
And it's like, oh, man, that's the worst. Like, no, but it's not.
That's what I'm saying. Well, don't say it. The thing of it is, we got to stop giving everybody an excuse just because they're reactionary. Don't say the dumbest thing in the world if you don't want nobody saying nothing back to you. Reactionary is you can do that, but you also got to deal with whatever comes to it. So it's stupid.
So the reality with Terry's contract, this is not some monster contract. You got some guarantees this year and next year. Like, people are out of their minds, and Mike Phillips responded.
His contract didn't break the bank. Believe that.
Phillips responded, and I just thought it was really funny. He said, it also shows how good the PR was that people think Terry won this negotiation. That deal was available throughout the summer. They just eventually got to a finish line where it's like, all right, we want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Washington has the third most cap space going into next season. Like, the Terry deal and what people think he got or whatever are out of their minds. He got a fair number for where he is in his career. He wanted a lot more. Like, the notion that Terry has somehow submarined this team is so freaking stupid.
That's what I mean by how dumb it is, because I've heard people who talked about him not getting what he wanted, but those same people are now still trying to act as if he did something wrong to this team. See what I'm saying?
Right.
If he didn't get what he wanted, okay, well, he lost the deal. If he lost the deal, why are you still wanting to talk about it? You know, see, that is where I get so confounded with it. And I've gotten better in my days of not just going straight at the folks. But you know what? That ish is wearing thin. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to eventually go back to who I've always been. And you know what? Since everybody want clickbait, and everybody want ratings, I could give you some damn ratings. Believe that.
Right.
And we could deal with it on air, off air, however we want to deal with it.
The injury is really unfortunate for Terry. I'm glad, just as somebody that knows him and has known him for a while, I'm glad Terry in the KC game balled out. The two catches he made are highlight reel when they – that touchdown catch at the end of the year, when the NFL releases a dope video of capturing the season, that touchdown catch is on there. All right, B. Mitch, hold on. We have plenty more football talk to discuss, including a conversation I had yesterday with Treylon Burks. But before we do that, we have major breaking news for the Washington Nationals.
Major news here from the Washington Nationals. Jeff Passan has just tweeted the Washington Nationals are finalizing a deal to hire Blake Butera as their manager. He is just 33 years old and will be the youngest manager in Major League Baseball in more than 50 years. In four seasons as the minor league manager in the Rays organization, his teams had a 250-144 record. The Washington Nationals are making a deal to hire Blake Butera, who's a minor league manager from the Rays, to be the new skipper in Washington. Huge breaking news, and this is per Jeff Passan, so this is legit. Blake Butera, new manager in Washington.
That's a big one.
It is.
That's a big one. You know what I immediately thought of?
What?
So, in four seasons in the minors, this dude has killed it. 258-144. I imagine lots of people are going to pretend to tell you a lot about Blake Butera, like they were familiar with his body of work.
They don't.
I do not. I know numbers. I know 258-144 over 4 years.
It's good.
Is quite good.
I'm with you on that.
And, B, you know what else? I'm cool with going to get the young guy. They went and got a young GM or president of baseball ops, whatever his title is, and now you get a young guy as the skip. Clearly, this is a big-time rebuild. I will try to bite my tongue on you also going to get these young guys. You probably don't have to pay as much because the learners have been incredibly cheap. I'm not going to say that today. I'm just going to celebrate.
You just said it.
No. I'm pointing out that I'm not bringing up that hiring a 33-year-old probably costs you a lot less than hiring a veteran that's been to the playoffs. I'm not going to bring that up because I'm a big Blake Butera fan. He won almost 57% of his games in the Rays minor leagues. And, dude, now I'm being sincere, something I am going to say. The Caps hire of Spencer Carberry, when he had never been a head coach in the NHL, right? The bulk of his work was in the minors, and yeah, he was damn good in the minors. Mm-hmm. I think Carberry's the best coach in town right now. I think that dude is legit.
Yeah.
And I am willing to roll the dice on a guy that's had success in the minors and bank on the upswing. So congrats to the Nats. Congrats to Blake Butera. Look forward to you coming to town, winning some games, developing it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Right way. I think it's good news.
Thank you, Dylan Cruz. That's sweet of you to say. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan, brought to you as always by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com and tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. What a great trip they just sponsored for us to Kansas City. Airbnb was fantastic. 10 rows up from midfield.
Can't beat it.
At Arrowhead Stadium, they could not have been more gracious. So thanks to those guys for sending the show on the road.
What a spectacular weekend it was. Obviously, everything but the score of the football game, but everything else leading up to and around.
Not order up a better football game for us?
I think actually they ordered it, but they were told no.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. I think they were like, hey, could you guys win, like make it more fun for us? But everything else was first class, man. So fun.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome onto the show, Washington Post columnist Barry Sferluga. We'll touch on multiple teams with Barry, but Barry, we got to start with the Washington Nationals. Who knew that would be the A topic today for us? They've got themselves a new manager. They're putting pen to paper with Blake Butera, who is just 33 years old. So a 35-year-old president brings in a 33-year-old skipper. What do you make of the out-of-the-box, pretty stunning hire today?
I had heard that they were close this whole week, but the only thing I heard was they're close and no one knew with who. And so, listen, I'm not going to tell you I had any idea. I never heard Blake Butera's name before today. But it did feel like they had steered or veered towards somebody out of the box. And that's fine. I mean, I've kind of said with this change, this, a pretty monumental shift from Mike Rizzo, who had been with the team since 2006 and been the GM since 2009, and Dave Martinez, who obviously won a World Series in the dugout. You don't make change to stay the same. And I think hiring Paul Toboni is step one in that, and empowering him to make, just kind of sweeping organizational overhaul is both jarring and refreshing. And that doesn't mean I'm endorsing the hiring of Blake Butera before I've heard a word out of his mouth. I mean, I'm sure he's an impressive person. And actually, Chelsea James, who's at the World Series, and I have been kind of bouncing, the name around, and the people who know him are super duper impressed. And I don't think you get a major league managerial job at age 33 without being really impressive. But I think it has to reflect something of Toboni's evaluation of where the organization is at the major league level, because if you're hiring a 33-year-old first-time major league manager, it doesn't seem like you're swinging for the fences in free agency. Like, this is, if not a full rebuild, because you have James Wood and you have C.J. Abrams, and we'll see what it means for Mackenzie Gore's future. But Toboni isn't scarred by the last several years of losing that the fan base is. He's looking at this as like, let's take an honest evaluation of where is this franchise and what is needed. And I mean, I haven't talked to him about this yet, but it doesn't seem to me that if he's hiring a 33-year-old first-time major league manager who hasn't managed above A-ball and has a player development background, just doesn't seem that he's like, okay, let's like sign the Max Scherzers of the world and put this thing together, and we're making a run for it in 2026.
Yeah, Barry, it's that last point that I wanted to jump on. You already kind of touched on, but let's take out the shovel here. Like, ipso facto, like, what does that mean exactly? It seems to me you brought in a teacher. You brought in a player developer. 30-year-old free agents that cost $30 million a year don't need that as much. It seems to signal to me kind of their intention to, I don't want to say slow play it, but to maybe take their time.
Yeah, and Danny, I think there you can both take your time and have urgency simultaneously. Like, I don't think there's anything about Toboni that is going to be like, hey, we're just going to like lay waste to the next couple of years because and just like let people kind of wallow in mediocrity. I think what happened here, and it's really, really easy to say in retrospect, but I think it was apparent at the time was, and I hate to harp on the idea that like promoting Miguel Cairo when you make the monumental decision to can Davey Martinez is the end all be all because it's not, it's a half a season, but they wasted a half a season because the minute he was hired, he said, you know, we kind of asked what's going to be different about the way you are going to do things. And he said nothing. That was an error. And so this is, I'm not saying that this decision has anything to do with that decision, but it's a real demarcation in no. The way things were done around here are not going to be done that way going forward. And I think, you know, whether it was Davey's fault or Cairo's fault or the coaching staff's fault or the front office's fault, like watching this team commit the same kind of stupid mental and physical, but mental mistakes over the past couple of years. Like, that's one thing to develop at the major league level. And I know a lot of old school baseball people lament that the fact that guys don't arrive ready to play fundamentally. Like, I get that. But it's another thing to have those guys in the dugout, in the clubhouse, on the field pregame, doing the work and not having the work pay off. I kind of feel like, even if Paul Toboni knows none of that over, you know, 2023, 24, 25, like this is kind of a line in the sand. No. We are going to develop, and developing means eliminating some of the stupidity, base running, fielding, you know, taking pitches when you shouldn't, swinging at pitches when you shouldn't. All of that is, there's going to be an accountability. And that's, I'm saying that because, not because I know anything about Blake Butera, but because it seems like the decision-making by Paul Toboni would indicate that's the direction he's headed.
Barry's for Luga on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Nationals have a new manager being hired, 33-year-old Blake Butera from the Rays organization. So, Barry, I love the hiring, so this is not questioning it, but I am fascinated about this question, which is, how big of a risk is this? I mean, a 35-year-old president hiring a 33-year-old manager who has not managed above single A, like, I love the audaciousness of this hire, but how bold is this by Toboni?
It's bold, but it's not, I think the risk is minimal because, and, you know, we can debate the importance of a major league manager. I mean, that's a 3-hour barroom debate. And I'm not trying to diminish it, but I think if the guy proves not to have the leadership skills and the, you know, communication skills to run a clubhouse and have a cohesive unit, like, you can move on. Paul Toboni can move on from Blake Butera if he needs to, if it doesn't work out. Like, he doesn't have to be, they don't have to be tied at the hip in a way that I feel like Adam Peters and Dan Quinn kind of are, because Quinn is a more known commodity. Football's a little different than baseball. The coach is way more important than the manager. But one thing I'm fascinated to find out, and I'll be interested in how Toboni answers this question, is like, what does he feel like the role of the major league manager in the dugout is? Is he an extension of the front office? And there are plenty of guys. Dave Roberts, like, good communicator, really good forward-facing, character. But if you don't think the Dodgers front office is supplying him with a lot of information about what the lineup should be, who should face who in what inning, like how many times the starter should go through the lineup, like, you're wrong. Like, this is a collaborative thing. Some managers have more autonomy than others. I don't think Terry Francona in Cincinnati is like, oh yeah, whatever you guys nerds in the front office are doing is fine with me. I'll just follow your blueprint. But that'll be interesting to see where the Nationals fall in terms of that going forward. I mean, Paul Toboni comes from the Red Sox, who have done it a bunch of different ways during his tenure there. Alex Cora is a pretty prominent figure as the manager in that organization. But, you know, he worked under Craig Breslow now and Dave Dombrowski in the past and Chaim Bloom. Like, he's seen it done a bunch of different ways. So I'm really curious about, hey man, like, what do you, this, you made this big hire and everybody thinks it's a big hire because big league manager, there's only 30 of those jobs. But how important is he and how empowered is he to make decisions lineup-wise, bullpen-wise, rotation-wise, matchup-wise, all of that stuff?
And I think, and Barry Sfulgo with us here on G&D, I think that's the question, Barry. Is this just now, you know, the a spreadsheet team where everything's predetermined? You know, you just read off of, okay, in the seventh inning, I will summon this player from the bullpen to face this collection of hitters, et cetera. Or do you think there's more autonomy there with a guy that's, you know, got some baseball bona fides, having come up through the minors and player development stuff, but, you know, hasn't made those kind of walks to the mound at the major league level yet? What do you think it says about the front office and their view of the manager?
You know, I think what they will say, and I think they'll say it because it's true, is that this will be collaborative. Like, they're going to game plan, and they should game plan, and they should talk about stuff beforehand. But I remember, like, at the height of the Cubs, like, when they got really good in 2015, 2016, won a World Series that year, and Joe Maddon was, like, a big figure in the dugout, and Theo Epstein was a big figure in the front office. Like, they had back and forths about, well, why did you leave Jake Arrieta in the game? That, well, I have to answer to the clubhouse, and he was dealing that night. Well, that's going to have an impact on him down the road. Like, those conversations should happen. I think, you know, if they're smart, and I think they probably are, they should say, like, this is a team effort, and the manager has autonomy in the seventh inning and whatever the situation is, but we're all going to be prepared for that moment. And then when we sit down and debrief afterwards, and the manager made a decision that the front office was like, ooh, raised eyebrows as we're sitting up there, you know, along the first baseline, like, has a really thought out, you know, reason for why I did this that was a little bit against the game plan, because I was feeling the clubhouse, I was feeling the dugout, I had some information about health that we didn't have before the game. I think those are all going to be reasonable answers, and I'd be surprised if they didn't say, you know, I'd be shocked if Paul Toboni sat down and said, like, yes, the manager is just an extension of the front office and he's a puppet and we're going to run him. I'd also be surprised if they said he has complete autonomy to run innings 1 through 9 and we just provide him with the roster and he can do with it as he pleases. Like, that's not modern baseball.
Barry Sfulgo in the Washington Post, writing Nats, Commanders, all things DC sports. We're going to hit football with him in a second. I'm going to wrap up our Nats discussion, though, without even a question. It's a comment, but 6 years ago today, they won the World Series. Six Amazing. Years ago. That's crazy to me. Oof. It feels like it's been 50.
I mean, I went through my camera roll because it, you know, you see some stuff on social, oh, this was the day. And like, and you know, I'm not big on like photos of myself, cause who needs to see my ugly mug, but like, you know, I went down to the field at Minute Maid Park afterwards, and like, you've already filed one story, but you got to get the good one, you know, ready afterwards. And I brought my laptop and just like, you know, taped interviews on the field and went back to the Nationals dugout, the visiting dugout, because it was the closest place. You could still get Wi-Fi from the press box. And like, people were snapping photos, and I'm sitting there like, hammering out a column from the dugout while the celebration is going on. It's like such a cherished memory for me. Not, you know, whatever. It's like, I'm not like rooting for the team, but have a long history of covering it and understand the road to get there, not just from the failed playoff attempts in years prior, but from 2005 and being the Expos and playing at RFK and then opening the new stadium, losing 100 million games. And every time I see that stuff from October 30th, 2019, I'm kind of like, that was a thing, man. I really stuff like the first player I saw on the field was Ryan Zimmerman, who, I covered when he was drafted. And it's like, okay, we're going to shake hands here because I'm not celebrating with you, but there's a lot in that handshake. It's funny you bring that up, Grant, because I do, when all those social media things come up on this date, since that happened, it's just a reminder that wow, wouldn't it be really, really cool if the baseball team were good again and we could cover it in October, not because I'm rooting for them, but because that stuff is really, really, really fun.
So fun. It's all I've thought about watching this fun October run for the Dodgers and the Brewers and obviously the Blue Jays and everybody else. With each of these ballpark scenes and everyone going crazy, you're like, we had that in D.C.
And it was a long time ago.
It feels like.
But it was us. It was us.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. It was Washington, D.C., and we had that. All right, Commanders, a year ago, things went their way. I mean, they went 12-5, and it was a magical carpet ride, and Daniels played like an MVP, and they were on their way. NFC Championship game. It feels like this is just the antithesis in every way of last year. Do you think this is more a good team besieged by injuries, or do you think this is a reality check that they are a long ways away?
I think the former. I just don't think they're this bad. And I've said this, I don't know, on the Junkies or B. Mitch and Finley, whatever. So much feels different if Jaden had held onto the ball against Chicago. It doesn't feel, and I'm not blaming him. He's not the reason that they're at this point. But if that exchange with him and Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt is completed, and even if they lose yards there, but they're going to run out the clock. They're not 3-6, they're 4-5. And I know it's only one game, but that feels way less like the sky is falling. I'm not going to abandon my assessment of Adam Peters as a really good kind of evaluator of talent and just organization builder leader type. And I was not for the Dan Quinn hiring. I thought they should have hired an offensive guy when you're drafting a quarterback, et cetera. But I'm not going to just in 8 weeks be I don't think he can connect with players anymore. That's not the issue. I think they've been dealt an awful injury hand. And McLaurin is the lead candidate there. But I would go to no one nationally is ever going to talk about Dietrich Wise being a big loss for this team. That guy was going to play good football and be a big part of what they did. And to lose him in week two is a big deal. And crying about that will get you nowhere, but it's also a reality. I think, and this was not an original thought. I wrote this before the season. It was very, very easy to see that they could be a better team and have a worse record just because of the schedule and health and all the close games they won last year. I think the surprising part is they have a worse record and they are a worse team. And that's because Jaden hasn't played all the time, because Terry was hurt, because there's been injuries. Even go to the fourth down stuff. They were historically good on fourth down last year. It just hasn't broken their way. I am not willing to stand here now, going into week 9 and say that's all broken because, everything is set back because the record is what it is. I think the fundamentals and the processes are right there for them, that they've they're doing it better than they have at any point since, Grant, you and I have been covering this for, you know, whatever, 15 years. But the injuries and everything, the circumstances have led them to a spot that looks like they're on the precipice. I think they're on the precipice of this season. I don't think they're on the precipice as an organization.
Barry, awesome to catch up with you as always, man. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Check out Barry's work. I'm sure he'll have something coming on the new manager of the Washington Nationals in the Washington Post. Always does a great job writing baseball, covering all things D.C. sports.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Landville, I have a Halloween song request. Ghetto Boys. Mine's playing tricks on me. Right now, we're going to the Rude Guest Hotline to talk to our friend, Mr. Mark Zuckerman from Masson Sports. Zuck, how you doing, man? What's going on? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. How you guys doing?
Your son, is he still of trick-or-treating age?
This is the first year he's decided he doesn't want to. He's 14.
Wow. I think
that's like right at that edge.
Okay.
He decided he didn't want to go, but I have a hunch that at the end of the night he's going to regret not having a bag full of candy.
I believe that. Are you giving out candy at your house, or are you turning the lights off like B-Mitch does?
No.
I'm not going to be at home, Jay.
but after 8 p.m., I'm watching the World Series, so the kids better be done by then.
Well, yeah. Dude, we obviously want to talk about the Nats' new hire, but this World Series has been awesome. I mean, it's just been really fun, really high-level play, and it's weird, but I'm rooting for the Canadian team. I'm rooting for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, just regardless, I'm the kind of person that always roots for the team that hasn't won it in a long time, and for them it's 32 years. And I just, you know, it's a team that I don't get to see a lot during the season, and the Nats actually played them. It was the first week of April that they faced them, so it had been a while since I really watched them. I've so much enjoyed watching them all this month and really appreciating how good of a team they are. They are legit. This isn't some kind of fluke. They've got really great players like Vladdy Guerrero. They have an incredibly deep lineup, and we've seen that come into play here in this series, the way that they can string together rallies and score runs in bunches. And they've got pitchers like Trey Savage, who came out of nowhere to turn into this like an ace for them in October. And what they're doing is absolutely legitimate. They are, at this point, playing better than the Dodgers. Doesn't mean they can't flip over the next two nights. But if they do finish this thing off either tonight or tomorrow, to me, that's not a major upset. They proved that they are as good as anybody in the league.
Totally. They also ended up winning more games in the regular season. You know, like the Dodgers just have the name value and the Savage kid, the story. I mean, you're a true seam head. Like, you understand the history of baseball. For a rookie to be doing this, especially when he was in the minors, like not very long ago, has it just blown your mind?
Yeah, and the key there is, I mean, so he was drafted last year, for starters, but he began this year in low A ball in Dunedin, Florida, pitching in front of 300 fans, and he literally climbed the ladder of every step of the organization, five levels of their system, and then finally made his major league debut in like mid-September, and I think he's now maybe had more postseason starts than he had regular season big league starts, which is ridiculous to think of. And then on top of all that, he's doing things that, you know, only the greatest pitchers of all time have done. I mean, strike out 12 the other night in a World Series game. You know, he carried a no-hitter into the sixth against the Yankees earlier on. It's a credit to not just his stuff, which is tremendous, but like his psyche and his ability to not be swept up in the moment. I can't imagine what that would be like. I think they said in the broadcast the other night, the only road game that he pitched in during the regular season was against the Rays, and they're playing in the minor league stadium, the Yankees spring training stadium, because Tropicana Field was messed up in the hurricane. So, I mean, like, all of a sudden you're at Dodger Stadium in the World Series pitching in front of 50,000 fans, and you've never been in anything that even comes remotely close to that kind of environment before. So I just, all the credit to him, what he's been able to do.
Yeah, he seemed to be like he doesn't really care either. Just step up and ball.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the key to it, is that, and you hear it all the time from athletes, that the ones who are able to block it all out and treat the biggest moments just like any other moment, yeah, they're the ones who have success. All the great athletes say, don't let the moment get too big, that you know, the pressure isn't on you. It's treat every single game, every single situation the same way. Those are the ones who have success.
Yep. All right, Mark, let's switch to the Nats big news. Talking with Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports. The Nats made a hire. Tell us what we need to know about the new skip, Butera.
Blake Butera, and I'll be honest with you guys, prior to 10 a.m. yesterday, I had never heard of him. I'm sure a lot of people were the same way. This is not somebody who was on a lot of people's radar. And I think within the industry, he was known as a up-and-comer. But, I mean, he's 33 years old. He's the youngest person to be hired as a major league manager since 1972. Damn. But to me, it's not about the age. It's about this. He never played and he never coached or managed above A-ball. Okay, never double A, never triple A, never anything in the major leagues. And that, I'm racking my brain trying to think of anybody else who would even fit that description. It is almost unprecedented, I think, for someone to be in that kind of situation and be named a major league manager.
So what is it that makes them hire him? Or I go with JP and say, well, he probably was the cheapest because he has no experience.
Well, I understand the cynical view of that, and I'm not saying there isn't a little bit of that that might, you know, have some validity to it, but there are plenty of others you could get on the cheap if you wanted who have more experience. I think what stands out from what I've gathered so far about him is what he has done at a very young age, of course, is he has managed in the lower levels of the minors with the Rays and finished in first place all 4 years that he managed, won their league title in the last 2 years with Charleston. Now, that's the Carolina League. This would be the equivalent of, they're in the same league as the Fred Bats in Fredericksburg.
Wow.
So it'd be like the equivalent of winning that league. Now, I understand that's nowhere close to the major leagues, but he had an 88-44 record in that final year with them, winning twice as many games as they lost. Then spends the last 2 years, he's promoted to be Tampa Bay's senior director of player development. So essentially in charge of their minor league system. The Rays throughout the industry are known for being one of the best in baseball at drafting and developing players. Now, they don't do a good job of then retaining those players once they get to the big leagues because they don't spend the money to keep them. And so they end up trading a lot of those guys, and that leads to success on the field that hasn't looked as good. But their minor leagues have been outstanding, and they have consistently had a pipeline of producing good young players. And so I think that's what the Nats are looking at. Paul Toboni said at his introductory press conference, he wants to be a scouting and player development machine. And so I think that Butera falls into that category of, yeah, he's really inexperienced, but his calling card is working with young players and helping make them better and get the most out of them. But what do the Nats have? Yeah, I know it's a big league team, but they're mostly 22, 23, 24-year-olds, so they're not that much older than the guys that he was managing in the minor leagues.
So B said something pretty interesting yesterday with a young guy like that. I think it's exciting, right? It's hard not to at least have the cynical thought. But I think it's exciting. They're trying something different. I know I covered Sean McVay as an offensive coordinator, and when he started getting interviews, I knew he was ready, right? And that worked great for the Rams. I think you look at Spencer Carberry with the Caps. He had never been a coach at the highest levels of hockey, but he was really damn good in the minors, and it's translated. I think Carberry's the best coach in town. I think this can absolutely work. Where I think you have trouble, though, is young manager comes in and tries to tell veterans what to do. How do you think this will be received by players in that clubhouse that might be older than him? Or do they even have those anymore?
Well, yeah, that's the one benefit there. At the moment, there's only one player who's under contract for next year who's actually older than him, and it's Trevor Williams, who's like 4 months older than him, and is going to be coming back from an injury and won't be ready on opening day anyways. Now, I mean, they could go sign some guys this winter, and I actually hope they do sign some veterans because it was sorely lacking this year. But I think one way you're able to get around that is how young the team is. This guy could not manage the 2019 Nationals with Zimmerman Scherzer and all the others. That doesn't work. But there is something to be said for when you're a professional athlete, a major league player, and you're being told this is the guy who's in charge, you need to have some level of respect for them based on what they've accomplished in the past, either as a player or as a coach or manager. And that stuff does matter to guys. I mean, even someone like Dylan Cruz, who's got 1 year in the big leagues, he's got way more experience from a major league standpoint or even an upper minor league level standpoint than the guy who's now his manager. So it is a challenge. The number one task to me for Blake Butera is going to be to very quickly win over that clubhouse and prove to them that he is worthy of that job and that it doesn't matter what his age is or what his experience might be, that he is going to help make them better players. And I think you can also do that by bringing in coaches with some experience. We'll see how that all goes, but I've got to believe he's going to have a bench coach with some more experience in that and a few others on the staff as well. That would help. But I think more than anything else, that to me is his number one challenge. He's got to win over the clubhouse. He's got to do it quickly because they'll see through it if they believe this is somebody who's not up to the task of being a big league manager.
And then the GM and also ownership has to come in and back him. Because, like, that's the main thing. When you got a young coach, you better see that he has to back him with everybody else. Or no matter what, if he don't have the backing of the GM and the rest of the people, they're not going to follow what he says no matter what.
Of course. And I think this is also a key point to it all. And we'll hear from them and hear how this is all going to work. But my hunch, and I felt like this was going to be the case even before I knew who they were going to hire to be the manager, is they want organizational consistency across the whole thing. They want the same message being delivered. They want everybody on the same page. And I do think this could be a situation, and they wouldn't be alone in this. There are a number of MLB franchises that operate this way now, where not that the manager isn't important, but the GM and the front office really dictate things, even so much as like proposing what the lineup should look like, determining how long a starting pitcher should be in the game, what relievers should be used in what matchups. And they give all that information to the manager and the coaching staff, and the job of the manager is to implement what the front office wants them to do. Now, that's different from what we had here. Mike Rizzo was adamant that his job was to put together a 26-man roster, and then the manager's job is to take that roster and do as he saw fit with it. But there are teams, including like the Dodgers and the Yankees and others, who have more of that top-down approach, and there's a lot more influence coming from the GM and the front office, and the manager's primary job is to implement what the front office is telling them to do. I would not be surprised if that's the way it works here.
I mean, no better example of that than when Dave Roberts had to take the ball out of the kid's hand that was throwing a no-hitter. I know that was a couple of years back, but that there's no way Dave Roberts, who played baseball in his life, wanted to take the ball out of a hand of a guy throwing a no-no.
Right. And so I'll be interested to see if that is the way. I would not be surprised, even if it wasn't this manager or somebody else, I could see that being the case here.
Talking with our friend Mark Zuckerman here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow Zuck at Mark Zuckerman, Z-U-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. He is not Mark Zuckerberg, for those confused. Zuck, I think now you got the new boss, right, in Timone. You got the new skip in Butera. The biggest question is, are they going to spend? And you don't have that answer, right? But you've got two pieces in Abrams and maybe even Gore that would probably net you a decent amount on the trade market. Going into winter meetings, I imagine that's next month or something. The hot stove will be working. If these guys are about player development and scouting and building for the long haul, what's the future like for Gore and Abrams?
So, yeah, I think that's among the biggest questions now. Once they get through all the, let's build the organization up at the front office level and on the coaching staff. Okay, yeah, what about the roster? What's this team going to look like next year? And it's still early to really have a sense of this. To me, the biggest question going into the whole offseason with the new front office was, do you believe that this team already has the core group in place that can win and you need to supplement that? Or do you believe that you're kind of starting over in some respects and that we're looking at several years down the road? Now, Paul Taboni was careful not to give a definitive answer to that at his press conference, and I understand why he wouldn't want to say anything. But when you look at who they just hired to be their manager, not to say that that doesn't mean they aren't trying to win in the next year, that doesn't strike me as the kind of manager you hire if the priority is winning in 2026. It's more about long-term development. So in that regard, they may be looking at this and saying, who on this current roster is going to be a part of this when we actually think we're ready to win in a few years? And if they're not, how do we approach this? Mackenzie Gore is a free agent in 2 years. C.J. Abrams is a free agent in 3 years. If you don't really think you're going to be in position to win before that, then I think you do have to listen to offers for them, as hard as that would be from a PR standpoint. I think you have to listen to those, because they may not be around by the time that you're ready to win. And what you don't want to get into is a situation where they're in their final year or even becoming free agents and you're not getting anything in return for them and you haven't won with them as well. So I think that's a major question for Toboney, and you know, their actions will tell us how they're approaching this. I think there's an argument to be made for trying to supplement what they have and trying to win with what they have. I also could buy the argument that they're not there clearly and that there's more work to be done. And if that's the case, you do need to be prepared to move on from some of these guys.
It's going to be fascinating to watch what the Nats do. And then, set against the backdrop of the Nats trying to get younger and better and repurposing this baseball organization, is what many think is coming. Just as somebody who's covered the game a long time, it's my understanding they have one more year under the current deal between the Players Association and the owners. So 26 is on the books, but after that, it's really wide open. Like, do you think, especially in Washington, where you had owners that wanted to sell, now apparently they don't, but they openly did for a while. Then they've slashed and burned on payroll, and there's this looming work issue. Where do you think that all goes?
A year from now, guys, it's going to be the number one topic across baseball, or maybe even across sports, is there going to be a lockout? If so, how long does it last? Does it impact at least the start or a good chunk of the 2027 season? And it, by all accounts, what it's going to come down to is how much the owners are going to insist on a salary cap. They're the only major professional sport that doesn't have it. They tried this way back in 1994. The union was strong. They went on strike, and we saw what happened. They lost the World Series. It almost killed the sport. All these years later, they have avoided any kind of significant work stoppage. There was a lockout a couple of winters ago. It cut into spring training, but it didn't affect the season. How adamant are the owners in trying to make that happen, and how much are they willing to lose in order to try to get a salary cap? The players have always said they will never agree to one. They believe the system in place is good. They believe the issue is that teams like the Pirates and the A's and the Marlins should be spending more that they could, and not that they have a severe financial disadvantage. It sounds like all the owners want to be in on this together, so I'm sure the Lerner family is holding out to see how this all goes. Of course, a salary cap would benefit them because you're no longer having to compete with the Mets and the Phillies to that same extent in terms of payroll. It's going to be a huge topic next winter. What just frustrates me the most is the fact that already more than a year in advance, it's already being talked about as if it's like a foregone conclusion that that's going to happen, a lockout. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate that. The goal should not be to be already positioning yourself to win that battle. The goal should be, how do we find an agreement that works out? We're having a great postseason right now. The ratings have been great. If the Blue Jays win, they're the 10th different team to win the World Series in the last 12 years. Like, that's good. That's more than any other major sport right now. Yeah, there are issues that have to be resolved, but they should be working to try to find a compromise. This should not be about all-out war between the players and the owners. The state of the sport is too strong right now to do that.
Yep, and I think these owners got to realize they're the ones paying the salaries. So
exactly,
you know, and you think you can't protect, you can't take care of yourself, but you want the players to give something back to help you out? No, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, like you allowed Steve Cohen into your league. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right, and that's where you've got owners at different levels of all this. Are they all going to be on the same page? But also, you've got players at different levels, and we saw in the last one the top players, the Max Scherzers, the guys who are really established. They were prepared to let the lockout continue. And it was the rank and file guys that actually shot it down and said, no, we need to play. We need to make salaries this year. This might be our one and only shot to be big league players. And so that's an interesting dynamic as well. For many years, the union has really listened to what the top guys have stated, but I sense that there's more of a push for the rank and file. There's way more of them who can't afford to lose games to put their side of it out there. So it's all going to come to a head next winter. I just hope it doesn't affect them actually playing games in 2027.
I totally agree. I feel like baseball is largely a regional thing. You kind of follow your team, but it seems the rule changes baseball has implemented, I think, are the best that any sport has done, maybe even in my lifetime, just to speed everything up. It's just so much more fun. It's so much better to take kids. Like, you know, you're in and out of there in a way. And the action, like my six-year-old didn't want to leave, right? Like, she didn't want to get up from the seats because it was constant action. There's another pitch. And even, like, the bullpen changes that would take forever are so much better now. So I understand everything in the world's about money. I just hope they can figure that stuff out.
Yeah, no, 100%. And realize that there is so much great young talent in the game right now. The sport is tremendously popular. It's in a good spot. Yes, there are issues that they have to work out. But if you're the industry of baseball on both sides of that equation, you got to understand you have a good thing going right now. Don't ruin it with any kind of work stoppage. I don't think the public has the appetite for that or the patience to deal with that right now.
Nope, they will move on. Agreed, believe me.
Man. All right, Zuck, thank you for your time, man. Enjoy Halloween.
All right, thank you guys.
All right, Mark Zuckerman does a fantastic job. You can read all his work in Mass and Sports. Give him a follow at Mark Zuckerman. I'm on board with Blake Butera, B. You on board?
I'm on board.
Let's win some games.
Yeah.
Nobody go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
Our pal Andrew Golden, Washington Post, covers the Nationals. Andrew, it's official. The manager's like just a little bit older than my son. What is going on here? What can you tell us?
Yeah, it's definitely an out-of-the-box hire for sure with him being 33 years old. I think Trevor Williams might actually be older than him. And so I think it's definitely a little bit of a surprising move, but I think it's an opportunity for the Nationals to get young. And obviously there's a lot of focus in player development, which the Nationals kind of need given their struggles in the past couple of years doing the fundamentals and all those things well. And so I think it's a smart hire from that regard.
What does the Blake Butera hiring mean about the plan in the next couple of years? Do you – like, I think when you look at this, feel like maybe they're going to rebuild this thing?
Yeah, I think it's going to take some time. Like, I think if you look at the record and where they're at and when they'll be competitive again, like, you're looking at, you know, at the earliest towards the end of Mackenzie Gore's, C.J. Abrams' tenures with the Nationals, right? Like, I know it's crazy that we're already kind of thinking about that. But when I look at that, like, I would think that, you know, they're definitely going to do some more rebuilding. And I don't know if it's a complete start for us, but I definitely think they're going to have to do a focus on trying to develop guys better, especially in the minor league system. That's going to take some time. And so, I definitely think this is a sign they're definitely going to continue to rebuild. I just don't know how long that will take.
So we got to know Davey Martinez well over the years, as you did too, you know, being on the beat every day. And a wonderful guy, you know, always the same, even keel, highs, no lows, just, you know, always getting the guys' backs. The frustration that I had, certainly I don't want to speak for Grant, was a lot of the same young kid mistakes weren't just being made by young kids in their first go-round in the big leagues. It was year after year after year of some base-running gaffes, not hitting cutoff men, just, you know, sort of the stuff that you're supposed to learn in high school baseball kind of wasn't happening. So that player development teaching would seem to be at a premium. A, just your thoughts on that, and then B, what that might mean about, you know, roster construction and the like here over the next year or two.
Yeah, I think what you kind of saw in the field was a product of, you know, I think that early on, you know, in 2022, 2023, there's a lot of guys in their first year, they're like, oh, they're young, they're learning, but you kind of saw, as you mentioned, a lot of the same mistakes, base running errors. I mean, Grant used to tweet at least like twice a day about their base running errors, right? And it was like that. It was obviously like all the defensive mishaps and things of that nature. And so I think when you just look at the way things are constructed, they kind of need to focus on getting back to the fundamentals well. And that's going to take some time. But I think, as you mentioned, they have the right guys in place to do that. I think Davey, obviously, in terms of, you know, who he was as a person, was a good guy. But I do think in terms of when you look at the fundamentals, they definitely fell short in those areas the past couple of seasons, especially towards the end of his tenure.
What kind of staff do you expect Blake Butera to put together around him?
Yeah, I would expect an older staff, right? I mean, I think we reported this yesterday, is that in the past in Tampa Bay, there was, you know, there were older coaches around him, even when he was young in his career, coaching and managing. So I would expect kind of a similar thing. Who knows exactly what that looks like, but I would think that he'd have some guys experience, maybe have been in the big leagues for a little bit longer, to to work around him and kind of build around him.
So he's so young. Do you feel like he was raised in the era where he would understand that Key and Peele sketch? So if you called him Balake in like his first presser, do you think he would get it?
I think he would get it. I think he's in that threshold. What, 33? I think you're in that threshold knowing exactly what that was. He probably was high school, college when that came out, probably. I would have to think he would be.
Yeah, right? So, you tell him you have to go down to Oshak Hennessy's office and, A.A. Ron and the whole nine yards. I wonder if you would get that, but just...
He has to know that.
Yeah, right? So, but it's, so that shtick, obviously, but kind of to the point, how do you command respect as someone that, A, didn't play in the bigs, B, is that young where, the clubhouse attendant, every member of the coaching staff is older? It's a challenge, right?
Yeah, I think the key is accountability. I think if he's really about holding guys accountable and setting a tone and a foundation with also the players in the locker room of accountability. I thought Dylan Cruz had a pretty interesting answer about them as players being accountable to each other. And so if you can kind of establish that with the coach, then I think that regardless of how young he is, I think that's something that people will respect. And so it's interesting to see how he'll command the clubhouse and gain the respect of people. I think that's something that you can't really judge at the moment. I think that's something that we'll kind of learn in time.
Andrew Golden, read his work in the Washington Post on the Nats all offseason. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See you soon.
See you, bud.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.